You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene
Johnson.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Dexter After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Dexter After Show.
All right, welcome, welcome to the Dexter After Show / awesome interview with our amazing guest Amy Garcia tonight. Super excited to have you. How are you doing today?
I'm very excited to be here.
Great. And it is actually Amy's birthday, so viewers at home, you need to be shouting at your TVs right now and lighting some candles, but not burning down your house, please. But we are so excited to have you here today, on your birthday especially, to talk about lots of stuff. Talk about your career, talk about Dexter, talk about Vegas, talk just kind of do an overall thing of what's going on in the world of Amy at this moment. But the way we got it set up, doing a little bit of introductions, going to talk about how you got your start, and then maybe a little bit of how you got into the Dexter and where that kind of led you on your path to stardom and your future stardom, like going up.
Sure.
Nowhere to go but up.
Hey.
I mean, no, that sounded totally wrong.
Yeah, thanks, buddy.
Well, now that this is off to a good start.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm your host, Stephen Lemieux, and we are going to go ahead and get started. So a lot of people, whenever people like research your name, always everyone goes to the IMDb. They always want to look up, okay, who is this person? Like, what have they been in them before? Because usually they look it up when like, oh my God, I've seen that person before.
Right, right.
Where can we find her again? So looking through yours, it's like your career has been very, very prosperous with lots of recurring roles on so many series. Like I wrote down a few of them. We got American Family, Greetings from Tucson, All About the Andersons, Off the Map. Like it's been very impressive. And just the whole fact that you can find somebody on a TV show like Dexter who's super talented, you enjoy the acting, and they make you want to talk to them is like, you see that they're on all these shows before, and it's just amazing to see how much work and effort goes into a career to get to that point where people recognize you. And I want to just talk about how you feel about how it takes so long just to get your foot in the door, but once you do, it just bursts wide open.
Yeah, I mean, I have been a fan from Dexter since the pilot, and I think it's really an iconic show, and I think it's one of those shows that really changed the face of television. I think that it planted seeds for shows like Walking Dead and American Horror Story, and I think no one but the incredible Michael C. Hall could pull off a show about a serial killer killing other serial killers. And you know, I think it really is what you lead up to. I mean, to me, I feel like I'm playing in the major leagues being a part of a show like Dexter. And like anything, it takes time. Sometimes you have to play in the minors for a little bit. But I do feel really lucky. I mean, I went to Northwestern and triple majored in economics, journalism, and French, just because I always like to know that I have a backup just in case things, you know, go awry. But I do feel really lucky. You know, I people always ask me, what do you think was your big major break? And I think, you know, I was fortunate enough to narrate Spanglish with Jim Brooks and Adam Sandler, and I worked on Peter Berg's Trauma, and I got to play this, you know, badass helicopter pilot. And but I do feel like I've been very lucky in having a series of little breaks. And now, you know, I told Michael C. Hall, I said, you kind of made it really rough for me. And he said, well, what do you mean? And I said, well, acting opposite you is such a joy, and he's such a good listener, and he's such a consummate professional, and he's so good that it really begs the question, where do you go from there? You know, so so it does. I do feel really lucky. I do feel like I've had a bunch of breaks along the way. But, you know, but being part of this show, which I really feel hits the sweet spot where people love it all over the world, but also critics love it, because sometimes you can have something that's critically acclaimed, but people in middle America don't know what it is, you know, and sometimes you can have the opposite. But I think that a show like Dexter is just so beloved by critics and people alike that it's just so fun to be on a show like that with such incredible actors. You know, I'll watch a show and I'll just get sucked into the show and you forget that you're in it because it's such a good show, and they're like, oh geez, there's Jamie, okay, because you're just it's just such a good show that you would watch regardless of whether you're part of it or not. But to be part of it is just, you know, such an honor.
So when you were, so obviously you started on the sixth season, correct?
Yes.
You started on the sixth season, and up until that point, were you watching them as they were new coming out from the first season onward?
Yes.
So how did it feel when you got that audition notice to go for a role on Dexter?
Well, you know, it's funny because I had just headlined a movie that that were, you know, it was kind of like a dance type of movie where I did all my own dancing, and they were it was going to theaters 5 days later, so I was doing a bunch of press for this film, and I got this call actually while I was in New York doing some press there. I think it was like I was doing MTV, you know, talk show or something. And they said there's this role on Dexter, and she's this graduate student, and her name is Jamie, and she's the new nanny. And my heart just skipped a beat, and I think I actually flew back a day early just to get a shot, you know, in the room. And it was really nice because they called me personally, which was so cool because you never think that anyone sees any of your work. So it was just nice to get a call from their amazing casting director, Sean Dawson, and say, look, we think that this role is really great for you. We'd love for you to come in, because I was on the, you know, other side of the country. And to have someone personally call you on the Dexter team to come in, I mean, that's, you know, just icing on the cake. So it was just nice to kind of come in to a room of fans instead of, you know, having to kind of prove your worth in the room. So I just felt really relaxed. And I think that when you watch a show like Dexter, you trust that they'll pick up your idiosyncrasies and they'll just cast people that are innately right for the role. And so you don't have to do anything except just be relaxed and bring yourself into it. And then I just wanted to be really relaxed in that room, and I was, and they were laughing when I wasn't expecting them to laugh, and it was just great. I felt so good about it, and I knew walking out of there, I was like, I nailed it, you know. But you never know. I mean, you could do a great job, and then you're too tall, you're too this, but once I got the audition, I just squealed, and you would have thought I won like $45 million.
It's very exciting, like. Any time to get an audition for a show that you've been shooting for the whole time, or that you've been watching and you're a fan of, because I can't imagine anything better than actually being to be a very important role on a show that you're a fan of.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I really believe in the power of words. I mean, 5 days before I booked Dexter, I said, what do I want? I think a lot of people don't really know what they want, and they kind of just go with the flow and whatever the world presents to them. But I said, if I could have anything, I would love to be on a show like Dexter. And 5 days later, it happened, you know, and it's true. I mean, I think Jamie is really integral in Dexter's nuclear family life. And everyone loves when Dexter does his thing, but Dexter can only do his thing if someone's taking care of the kid, you know. So I think, and we'll see in future episodes how she really does become a complete core in this family unit. And she sees Dexter in the most beautiful limelight you could ever imagine. Her boss is amazing. She sees him through love goggles. And I think that what Jamie brings to the show is she's the only one that doesn't have baggage. Every other character on the show, I mean, you even see Jennifer Carpenter so beautifully seeing her progression as Deb from, you know, the rookie. I mean, in the pilot, she is, you know, undercover as a prostitute, and she's just, but she's full of light, and she's just so, has so much enthusiasm, you know, she really feels like she can change the world. And while she keeps some of that, even now, she really is, I think, a justice fighter. You see that she's just so broken, you know what I mean? And I think she did a lovely job in that scene a couple weeks ago where she, you know, tells Dexter that she's in love with him. So you see that journey. And so I love playing a role that still is full of light. And she really doesn't have any baggage, and she provides innocence to this, you know, band that is all these characters of Dexter.
And that's the great thing about the writing of the show, is that these characters that you see for a while, or the characters that they bring in a lot, the writers are amazing at giving them interesting arcs that are moving. They either move really slow or really fast. And in your case, it feels like your arc is slowly moving, but I feel we only have one more season to go. So it's gonna be great to see how they move your character along, depending on how it goes. I was gonna say something though. Your character, you are the caretaker, basically, for Harrison.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of an overlooked rule to some people. But when you when you're thinking of like the seasons, you're thinking of like Ray Stevenson, you're thinking and you're thinking of the relationship that Dexter builds with Hannah and his trust in Hannah and his trust in Deb and all that stuff. But when you think about it, the thing he cares for most is Harrison. And whose hands does he leave Harrison in? So the fact of that, to me, means like he placed almost 90% of his trust in you, because you're the one who's taking care of his family.
Mm-hmm.
That's his flesh and blood.
Yeah.
Like the fact that you're Batista's sister in the series, and you're just introduced through Batista, he puts a high regard in Batista's words, but mm-hmm. at the same time, you've definitely proven yourself to Dexter as the person who will be able to take care of his heir, per se.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can see a definite future for this character, especially with a nice arc going in with the trust that Dexter has in it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think even being Batista's sister was very informative of who she was. I mean, Batista is such an everyman and so relatable and so charming and lovely and almost essentially Dexter's best friend. So I felt like I came into the series as my older brother being, you know, Dexter's very close friend. And you're right. I mean, I think Dexter doesn't trust a lot of people. And the only place that he can be honest is when people are on his kill table.
Yeah.
That's the only time, you know, up until Hannah, that he can just really tell people. It's almost like his therapy session. You know, he's like, I know I'm about to kill you, but I just want to have a little therapy session with you, and this is what I'm feeling. And so I feel like he can only be honest when people's hands, life are in his hands. And so I think for him to put that kind of unconditional trust in Jamie, it is. I mean, I think, you know, we saw that scene in season 6 when he's out in the ocean and he's contemplating just almost being suicidal and mm-hmm. giving up the fight. But then the person that comes into his mind is, well, what about Harrison? And when he's about to take off, he always sees Harrison's picture, and you're right, it is kind of his nugget of hope and almost his like reason for living, and not just offing himself, because we've seen he's kind of becoming more human, I guess, as the series evolves. And so I think, you know, Jamie's character does become really integral in kind of being the mother figure of his kid, because he doesn't have another one.
And with your character, you interact with almost everyone who's a main character on this show, like especially being Batista's sister. How was it like developing that kind of relationship as, oh, you're my brother, David. Like, oh, you're my brother.
Oh, right off the bat. We speak Spanish together. He's Puerto Rican. He was from New York. I'm Puerto Rican. I mean, it was just like an instant. I don't even think I said anything to him when I first met him. I think I kissed him on the cheek and hugged him before I even said anything. So I feel like he just reminds me so much almost of my dad. It was such an instant kind of chemistry. So right off the bat, people are like, God, you're really believable as brother and sister. And I, like when I go to New York, you know, I text him and call him, and I really trust him. I would trust him with the keys to my house. And he's wow. just such a lovely, lovely man and such a big heart. And he's just such an everyman. You know what I mean?
He's one of the most likable characters on the show.
I
think almost all the fans agree that, like, I was talking about it earlier in an AfterBuzz podcast, talking about who we think is going to die, predictions of who is going to die. And everyone's like, my co-host is like, man, Quinn's got to get it. And then I'm like, well, I think Deb's going to get it.
Yeah.
And then I'm just like, I hope I see this Batista arc with the restaurant. And I'm just like, I hope he does. I hope he's the one who like gets out. He's like, okay, I got my restaurant and out. I don't want to see Batista like 2 days from retirement. I don't want to see that.
Yeah. And it's true. I mean, how do you end an epic series? You know, do you fade to black? Do you? I mean, who knows? But I think that I know for a fact that these writers, I won't mention names, but let's just say one of them has a private comic book collection in his home. And he's very, 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 very serious about archetypes and characters and closing them out with respect to the fans, because you've basically invested I don't know how many hours in watching the show over 8 seasons, and you owe it to the fans to really end it in an epic way. So I know that they are just trying to, I think they're breaking stories now for next season, and I look forward to it. And we probably won't know. I a lot of times they won't put the scene in the script that's in the table read, so we're watching it for the first time as you are.
Wow.
So I know last season, the last scene was not in our script.
Really?
Yes.
So that was completely a shock to everyone. Seeing the end of the episode last season and then seeing what happened after it, you probably only saw that 5-minute clip until this season as well.
Exactly. Yeah, that's... so they're very, very secretive. So, even this season, no one got the last scene of this season. They read it once in the table read. No one had a physical copy of it, and they're just very, very secretive. And I love it, because if you don't know, you're not tempted to say anything. And I'm so paranoid that I just border. I always plead the fifth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
if you probably can't say it, you just don't want it. You want to avoid the subject completely.
Exactly.
And they just came out with the new billboard for this whole coming to the end of this season.
Yes, I saw that.
And it has Dexter and it has mm-hmm, Deb. Mm-hmm. And I believe the line was like, somebody's got to go.
Yeah.
And I was just like, ooh, my prediction's been going right all this season.
Yeah, so what is your prediction?
I think that Deb is going to die. My prediction this whole... I was right about Hannah being kidnapped.
I play poker, so I'm trying to keep this poker face right here.
Don't worry. As long as they keep the camera on me, you won't have to worry about giving up anything except to me, and then I'll be like this. But no.
Yeah. So how do you think she's going to go?
Honestly, I think that she's going to go saving Dexter. I think there's going to be something that goes on between maybe George, something that happens with LaGuerta. Maybe she even takes the fall for Dexter and gets killed in a shootout or something. I don't know. I don't really want to speculate at that because it makes me expect too much.
Right.
And
right,
I don't even want to look down that road because I want to be surprised when it happens.
Right, right, right.
Like, for instance, the last episode, I had seen spoiler pictures and I knew that Hannah was not going to pass from that scene.
Yeah.
And I was just like, man, I wish I would have had more suspense if I didn't.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I have to do my research as a host. And
right, right, right. And that's the thing. You know, last episode with Ray Stevenson's character dying, that's almost something that you'd expect in a finale.
Yeah.
So I feel like I love that they constantly throw curveballs at you, where the main villain, I mean, the main nemesis of the season was really Ray Stevenson, and he's off in episode 9. So where do you go in 10, 11, and 12? And that's what I love, is that they don't have any formula. If they feel like he's got to go at 9, he goes at 9, and there's no ifs, ands, or buts. And it's just, I mean, it's scary as an actor, I have to say, every time I get the script. I say this in every interview. I get, you know, the bell rings and I run out and I snatch it from the messenger and I like quickly look through the script and, you know, my roommate's like, are you dead yet? And I'm like, not yet.
Yeah,
We're good.
We had a guest from Walking Dead on. He said, well, usually they give you a call because a lot of people die on that show, of course.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And Dexter's slowly catching up to that toll with this season. We have, He killed the guy with the sniper rifle last episode. He's been killing people left and right this season.
Yeah, and that's what I actually think is going to be so interesting. I think that we're going to get to see Michael C. Hall do things that he's never done before. So for 6 years, he's been so wonderful at being completely subtle and yet vastly expressive. So he's stoic, but he is all these other things, right? And now as he's falling in love for the first time. He's really becoming a father in more ways than one. He's understanding more and more what it's like to be human. So for me, it's the beginning of the end for him. So it's like a dog that has rabies and seeing his journey into progressing into almost maybe a wild beast. Like, he's breaking the code here and there, which he's never done before. There's a lot more exceptions than there used to be in previous seasons. So, and, you know, in a few episodes when I think, I don't know if it was Speltzer on the table, but he almost broke loose like a chimpanzee in the kill room. And when he's like, I have everything in control, I mean, you start seeing a little delusion. And it's going to be really cool to see Michael C. Hall, whatever they write for him in the future, to just see him. I don't know, how does this end? You know what I mean? So I'm excited to see Michael, who's capable of so much, possibly get to explore those sides of him, because he's kind of going down the rabbit hole, and it's got to be so
find?
Fun. Yeah.
And I've noticed a lot more in this season. They've been giving him those very subtle things that just make you laugh so hard. Like, previous seasons, yeah, they've had a lot of good stuff, but this season especially, I'm seeing, like, literally, like, he's smiling, smirking, and he just, like, slightly raises his eyebrow, and it just makes you burst out laughing, because he just killed someone, literally, and he's just like...
and that's
like one of the favorite things I have about the show, is how well the director of photography has been doing getting the shots, how well it looks, the lighting's been amazing, and everything. Every character on the show looks like they belong on the show, and I really appreciate that. I wanted to talk to you, since you don't know what happens at the end of the season, of course. There was a line on last episode that had a lot of foreboding behind it that I felt kind of summarized what's to come in the next season. And it was when Dexter's talking in the final moments of Ray Stevenson, Isaac Sirkov.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Sirko.
On the boat?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he says, you gave up everything for it.
Was it worth it?
Was it worth it? And he says, oh, God, yes. And I just still, like, it's been, what has it been, like 4 days since then? And I'm still just like...
Oh, my God, I just got chills.
Yeah, it's like, that is the... By the way, that last scene was just amazing.
Yeah,
like,
it was great.
Oh, why do you have to die?
Like, what generosity and spirit to say, you know, like they were saying on Scott's podcast, like, almost like an older brother. Like, the last thing that Isaac Sirko says is, what are you going to say to Hannah when you talk to her? You know what I mean? Like, it's such a almost older brother advice. Like, those are your last words, you know what I mean? So I thought it was a very generous thing for Isaac. And you're right, I wish they wouldn't have killed him off. He's so wonderful.
Yeah.
They would have made great friends. But sorry, you were saying that line, like, it's completely worth it.
Yeah, it's completely, it made me think that bad things are coming for Dexter. And what were you going to say?
Well, I was just going to say, look, anyone who's ever been in love, right? It's great, but it kind of messes up your flow. So if you're a musician, and especially at the beginning, and for the first time you fall in love, it's like such a magnetic, almost hypnotic drug that anyone who's truly fallen in love for the first time almost drops everything else. You know, your buddies are like, dude, where were you? You're supposed to watch the Bears game. Why didn't you show up? And you're like, oh, well, and there's this girl, you know, and you start kind of dropping things that used to be important to you for the love of your life. And eventually, hopefully, you can balance it out and it all kind of flows together. But if Dexter really is truly in love with Hannah, then I feel like he might start possibly changing his ways, which might cause destruction for him, because he's such a creature of habit, and structure is very important for him. He's very methodical, and, you know, getting rid of his blood slides.
Yeah.
I mean, that to me was a really huge step for him. And that's the other thing I love about these writers. You know, you have a scene with Jamie that's seemingly inconsequential, and she's talking about Harrison throwing away his toys. And then at the end of the scene, they tie it all together, and they're like, some toys are harder to get rid of. So it's like every scene, no matter how inconsequential it seems, affects Dexter in some way. You know, it's like Newton's second law. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And that's what I love about the show, that any sort of seeds they plant always kind of grow up and sprout. But I agree. I mean, I don't know. I think Dexter really is...
Coming apart.
A little bit. I see kind of just slowly slipping away at the seams, because he's becoming human.
Yeah. And it's like last season, the whole thing was religion to a point. And this season it's fear and love, and it's the fear of love and what becomes of you after love. So with so much going on in Dexter's life, dropping little things here and there, The thing that led La Guerta to him was chopping one little blood slide. I mean, it's a very good metaphor for what you were talking about, how love does affect people and how it is definitely affecting Dexter. But I want to go back to your characters just a little bit, because you did have a pretty substantial part in a character that got killed off a little bit too early, I think. And you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, of course.
How is it becoming romantically involved with someone on set, like in the show?
Yeah.
And knowing that they're going to die like two episodes later.
Well, I mean, actually, I think, you know, Josh is an incredible actor and he was actually committed to a Broadway show. So, you know, a lot of times the producers have to write to accommodate actor schedules. And that's what happens. Like, when you hire really talented actors, they're doing this, they're doing that. But, you know, first of all, when you're doing a love scene, the last thing you're thinking about is any sort of romance. You're like, do I look fat in this angle? Like, does this look awkward? I mean, you're so in your head about the technicalities of things. Am I blocking him and the cameras on him? But, you know, he's such a great character. I thought he played Lewis really well. I expected him to be the major nemesis of the entire season. But like I said, I mean, this show really is like life. Like, you might expect to be at a job for 6 years and you quit after the first day. Or you might expect someone to be the love of your life and then you realize that they have some, you know, freaky thing that you, there's a deal breaker for you and you're like, I'm done with this guy. So
they might be a serial killer.
but Josh is great, and it was really fun to kind of, you know, have that scene where she just, and he does, I mean, he says, you know, Dexter tried to sabotage me and Dexter tried to get me fired and Dexter, and what I love about Jamie's character is that she basically single-handedly holds the belief that everyone else did season one.
Yeah.
I guess her and Batista, you know, Quinn was always suspicious of Dexter.
And especially with that, what happened in season five.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Deb is obviously cat's out of the bag onto Dexter. La Guerta has her suspicions about Dexter. So there's very few characters on the show who really see him in the light that he was presented in the first season. So I love carrying that badge because there's so much room for that trajectory to go dark. Like, someone has to think that Dexter is the greatest thing since sliced bread. And obviously, blood must run deep. The Batistas are those people. So it's really nice. I mean, you know, Batista still thinks that he's a lab geek. I remember one of his lines in one of the episodes, they're like, well, you know, they have a suspicion about this. Or look, where it's mad at Dexter. And Batista says something like, what, for parking in her parking spot? You know what I mean? So he still thinks that Dexter is completely innocent and just this nerdy, blood.
Well, he wouldn't let you be his nanny if he didn't.
Yeah, exactly. So I like that. So we'll see. I mean, I don't know if she'll start finding blood on his shirts while she's doing laundry, or, you know, there was that incident where the crime writer dies in the apartment. That was a little too close to home. But of course, she would never suspect any foul play, and it wasn't even Dexter's foul play at all. It was Hannah's. But the world is starting to creep in a little bit. There was a dead body for the first time in the apartment, and, you know, Lewis, she still doesn't know that Lewis is dead.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So
she doesn't.
I don't know if that'll come back and be explored at some point. But, you know, I don't know if in the future Jamie's going to have that Kaiser Sose moment where you're like, that's why he works till 5 in the morning. And that's why, you know,
putting stuff together.
Putting it all together. But, you know, that's for the writers to decide. But I do love that she really is the only one that, like I said, doesn't have any baggage. She's innocent, and she sees Dexter through love goggles.
So when working with Lewis, as your character is like in a relationship, of course you're still quite hard on him, because why are you over on Dexter's side of the apartment? I told you never to go there.
Right.
Like, you, it was a very strict relationship that you, like, you had your rules. So it looks like, it seemed more like you were not in love with Lewis at all. It seemed more like you were just dating him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, she's like young and she's a grad student. She's a Miami girl, so she probably thought it was love. You know what I mean? And then when she sees him with some other topless,
yeah, I mean,
you know,
that was
hooker. And who says that? It's not cheating if you pay for it. I'm like, really, really? One of my Twitter followers was like, that is complete douchebaggery. And
yeah.
I said, that is the perfect word to describe that. But you know, I think it's. I mean, he was a great character. He served a great purpose. I think she was. She really does respect Dexter, and it's very important to her to do a very good job mm-hmm. for him, because he's kind of taken her under his wing, and he pays her overtime, and she really is part of the family. I mean, I don't want to give too much away, but possibly in future episodes, you know, you see her really kind of being included in family sort of.
Well, we do have that little spoiler pick of. Looked like Thanksgiving dinner, of course,
oh,
that's
so
been released.
You know. Okay.
Yeah, it
okay.
has been released on Twitter. There's
oh,
a nice.
Has it? Okay.
Yeah, that's the only reason I knew Hannah wasn't going to die on last episode. I was like, okay. Oh, look at that pie. It looks delicious.
Oh, okay.
Is the food real?
Yeah, well,
bad
yes,
question.
It is, actually. But yeah, so she's, you know, she's there. She's part of the family. And he even says, I think, you know, you're family. So, so in typical kind of Latin fashion, if you're family, you're family for good, and blood supersedes anything. So if she has to choose between Dexter and Lewis, you know, she's gonna choose her family, Dexter.
So what was probably your favorite part so far of filming on the set with Dexter? Filming, like, what scene were you were really, like, really excited to do, really excited that you can see it on screen, you're just like, that's me.
Yeah. Well, I loved the breakup scene, because I mm-hmm. feel like Jamie, I mean, a lot of times I'm hanging out with 2-year-olds, so you have to be playful and fun and bright, and you can't really be a downer. So it was fun to play the breakup scene, because I feel like she was really emotionally filled, and I could feel, I mean, you don't plan scenes like that, but I could, like, feel my voice cracking, and I remember doing that scene, and I closed the door, and I was just shaking, and I was completely red in the face, and I just felt like bawling, but I didn't, it was like, you know, you just get yourself revved up, and it was so fun to do that on the show, because she's so much of the kind of steady.
You never raise your voice.
She never raises. I mean, she gets a little feisty with her brother, because it's family, and she could be like, "Dude, please do not put yourself in debt by getting this restaurant." But that was really fun. But honestly, all scenes with Michael, I feel like I'm lucky enough to have a lot. Most of my scenes with Michael C. Hall, and they're really fun. You know, there's one scene. Where I remember, I think this was early on in the last season, where Harrison's in the hospital and there's a hospital scene, and I felt almost like Dexter's, like, girlfriend at the time, you know, giving him coffee and telling him that he could go and she'll watch Harrison. And I remember on one take flipping the lines for some reason. I could see the reaction on Michael's face, which meant he was really listening. He doesn't just tune out, wait for you to stop talking, and then says what he says. Like, he's truly, completely, 100% present. And because I was just saying things that were a little off, because I was just, he was like this, and it was just nice to know that he's, you know, right there with you. But also, like, there was this one really sweet short scene where Jamie wants Dexter to open up, and he, I think it's after Mos Def's character passes, and she can tell that he's really down and feeling really upset, and he's just by himself with Jamie in the apartment, and she feels like he needs to get something out. He just lost someone he really got attached to, and he just doesn't let you in. That was a really sweet scene for me, because I feel like Dexter or Michael does a really great job of listening, while at the same time being a very closed off Dexter and being true to who the character is. So he's so good. I mean, I don't think that the show would work with anyone else, and I just feel really lucky that I know that every time the camera rolls, he is just completely going to be there. And to me, acting is like tennis. You're only as good as the person you're playing with. So if you're playing with Michael C. Hall, I mean, what do you have to worry about?
Yeah, honestly, because I've heard stories about how he is on set, and it's always good things. And whenever you hear about an actor, the ones that you never want to hear bad things, But the ones where people are like, they want to be there. They want to be the person who helps the new people out. They want to.
They want
it to look good. They want their project to be amazing.
Absolutely. I mean, he will go above and beyond. Like, I remember we were shooting a scene in the hospital, and one of the background actors was having a hard time with the gurney. And Michael said, is that hard to push? Well, let's fix that. And then he had someone come and fix it. Like, he is, you know, headlining the show, but he also very much acts like a producer, which he is, and makes sure to create an environment where everyone can do their best work. So it's not like he's saying, oh yeah, I won a Golden Globe already. I get nominated for an Emmy every year. I'm Broadway trained. I've been on HBO. Like, I'm, you know, he's, I really think he's one of the best actors of our generation. But still, even with that, he's still so generous in spirit, and he really, you know, he was helping out this background artist because she was having trouble moving the gurney. So I thought that was very generous, and he really is just an absolute consummate professional.
So I have one kind of off-topic question before we move into maybe a little bit of Vegas. Just talk about your character on Vegas. You said that you have a producer who's a big into comic books and archetypes and things like that. And don't worry, I'm not going to grill you on that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to try to get spoilers out of you. Lewis's apartment, is that his place?
Oh, that's funny. That's interesting. No, his place is actually has even more comic books. It's like a man cave of comic books. And I said, you know what? This is the kind, if the fans would be so proud. Like, if they knew that the writers who are creating the shows they're watching had a man cave full of comic books, they would beam. I mean, that's like, I mean, I love comic books too, but my stack is maybe this big. But to have a room man cave full of comic books, you know that he just lives and breathes this stuff. And I don't think Dexter fans would have it any other way.
Well, everyone, when watching, like, every time we were in seeing a scene in Lewis's apartment, we're just like, what's that? What's that?
Yeah, I know. It was like the coolest apartment ever.
You ever just find yourself like,
oh yeah, they're all really cool, like, you know, one of a kind pieces, and
when you
cool.
throw them on the ground, oh
yeah, it's crazy. The people that watch the show, like Shepherd Fairey made a limited edition skateboard Dexter, and it's just, it's so cool, like the people that watch this show, and they're such artists in themselves. So yeah, it was like an amazing, our set designer is amazing, and that apartment, I wish it was mine, but you know.
So
not.
Did you read the Dexter books?
I didn't.
You
I
have
didn't.
Not.
Yeah. I
okay.
Know.
So I'm totally going to avoid that subject.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I really enjoy hearing stories from the set. I really enjoy hearing like how it's an experience for an actress coming into something that you obviously love. You obviously loved before you were on it. And it's really exciting to us, the viewer, to know that people do care about the show, that people care while they're on set, they care about the work, and they put that care into the work to make it the amazing show that it is today on Showtime.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited about that.
They really do, and I feel like I was kind of the new kid coming in, so you never know if, you know, what it's going to be once a show has been on for 5 years and you come in as the newbie. And they were just so welcoming, and everyone from, you know, Lauren to Jennifer, and they couldn't have made it easier. Like, completely welcomed me with open arms, and it was sweet because they didn't have to. So yeah, they totally welcomed in the new kid, and it was a great experience.
So Desmond Harrington seems like a ladies' man on the show. Does he hit on you on the set too?
Oh, he's such a sweetheart. I love him. He's great.
Yeah, I just had to throw that out there.
Yeah. No, he's a doll.
But let's move into your character on Vegas.
Sure.
You play Yvonne on Vegas.
Yes.
And you are the receptionist at the sheriff's station.
Mm-hmm.
And you pop up here and there doing a few various things and showing your face. And we actually host an AfterBuzz Vegas show here. They went last night.
Oh, really?
And I told them that you're coming in today, and they wanted me to tell you one thing. They're like, we love her. She is the ethnically ambiguous receptionist. She's great. And I'm just like, you guys are awesome. And they're like, Steven, you better make her love AfterBuzz because we want her on our show. And I'm like, well, I don't think that'll be a problem because she's super nice. And
you have
definitely lived up to everything I told them. You are an amazingly nice person to come in here on your birthday and do this interview with us. And I kind of want to put aside the Dexter for now, put aside a lot of that stuff, and do talk about a little bit of your experiences on Vegas, because I know people can only dream of working on two major top-rated shows at the same time in the same year, working on Dexter and Vegas consecutively.
Yeah, and RoboCop at the same time.
Yeah, RoboCop. And we'll talk a little bit about that. What's it like being on a series that has such an A-list cast? A-list cast and coming in as like one of these roles that you know on a first series of that it's pretty much assured a second, more than second season and everything.
Yeah.
Knowing that you have a character that will have a backstory, will be built up to something new.
Yeah. Well, it's great. I mean, Greg Walker, who's an executive producer on Vegas, after he watched the second episode I was in, he's like, we love her character. We're just going to bring her back. And so that's like an actor's dream, you know, to know that you can build a character and inspire the writers, because that's the most exciting thing. I mean, TV is a writer's medium. I think theater is an actor's medium and film is a director's medium, but TV lives and dies by the writing. So if the writers aren't excited about you, you're kind of dead in the water. So it's so cool to have them wanting to create, you know, a romantic story arc with Taylor Hanley, who plays Dennis Quaid's son, and it's just so fun to dress up, you know, in Mad Men 1960s pencil skirts and high hair and it's just great. And they're making it really comedic, which is nice, because I think, you know, Dexter I find very funny, but they are writing to her comedy, which is fun to do, and it's just such a fun show. I mean, I get to show up to work and ride her scooter around and dress up in, like I said, cute little 1960s outfits and hang out with cowboys wearing tight jeans all day long. So it's like, what? That's kind of a girl's dream. And I get to be really sassy in an upcoming episode. She's the only one that's not scared of spiders. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's a sweet little thing where she's just in there and she's part of the boys club and there's a lot of testosterone in a sheriff's office and she just comes in her little outfits, but she's whip smart and I just love how they're writing for her and she's just so fun and I feel very honored to play a woman who's ethnically ambiguous in the 1960s, because I think to run an office as a woman in the 1960s is a really big deal. So I'm like, well, maybe it's my Northwestern coming through, you know what I mean? So it was just an offer I couldn't refuse and ended up both working out.
So you do have, you are working in the office, but it is such a hectic time in Vegas with all that's going on with Savino and then Dennis Quaid's character, mm-hmm. and then we have his sheriff's deputy and everything. I don't want to ask you too much at all. I want to know, do you think your character is strictly loyal to the sheriff, or do you think there's going to be a chance for you to maybe be playing both sides a bit on this the mob versus sheriff town?
I could tell you, I'd have to kill you. No, I think, I think Yvonne is pretty loyal. But it's Vegas, and money can definitely motivate people. But we'll see. I think she comes from strong character stock, but you know, you see other characters kind of going to the dark side, so mm-hmm. you never know. She might sway that way too.
I'm just thinking it might be useful for the mob to have a little informant in the sheriff's station.
That's true. I like the way you're thinking. I'll pitch that next week.
Heard it here first, yeah. Folks. But yeah, let's go into a little bit of RoboCop. We can't talk too much.
Yeah.
But how did you become part of the RoboCop project, and when did you realize that it was finalized, that you are going to be part of probably one of the biggest films of 2014, especially with such a cult fan following, even just regular fan following? And I mean, it was an amazing film back when they didn't have all these special effects and cars flying 300 feet through the air and crashing into people and
yeah.
random people dying at every turn and Dexter showing it. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
But like, how was it becoming part of this project?
Oh, it's so great. I mean, it happened all kind of pretty fast and you know, all my scenes are with Gary Oldman, and it's like once you work with Michael C. Hall, like I said, it's kind of hard to beat that experience. But Gary Oldman is just such an actor's actor, and he's so lovely. And it's great. I mean, it's a 5-star cast. You know, we have Michael Keaton, Sam Jackson, Gary Oldman, Abby Cornish, Joel Kinnaman from The Killing plays the title character, RoboCop. And it's such an honor to be part of a cast where the top 10 actors in that film have all been nominated for either a Golden Globe, a Tony, an Emmy, an Oscar, or a SAG Award. You know, I said, mm-hmm. shoot, I'm glad I got nominated for a SAG Award with Dexter. I have something to, you know, I have some sort of pedigree, I guess, to offer. But it's just such an A-list cast in front of the camera. And also behind the camera, our editor was nominated for an Oscar for City of God. And our director won the Golden Bear in Berlin, which is a very prestigious award. So And he did this franchise in Brazil. He's Brazilian, called Elite Squad, which is very raw and gritty. And he's a documentary filmmaker. So I am very proud of this film so far. I mean, we're halfway through, but it's so gritty and it's so not formulaic that I feel like it's like having a great ingredient in making a meal. And so I expect the meal to taste really good, you know. So it's just, I'm really excited, and I think it's going to be so good, especially anyone, like I said, who's watched Elite Squad, which is Jose, our director's previous films, will see that it's such a great story in itself. And it's also, I don't think, sci-fi. I mean, I think it's not like a far in the future thing. You know, I am very fortunate, like I said, to work with Gary Ullman and we get to kind of bring RoboCop to life. And I've done a ton of research for the role in science and whatnot. And you hear things like half robot, half cockroaches going into rubble to help earthquake victims. Or drones, you know, that are so commonplace now. And I really think that wars in the future are going to be fought with strictly robots. So So and then that would be great, because then we're not sending, you know, our sons and daughters and fathers to war. How great would it be if robots could do those things instead, you know? But then there's like the moral question, and so there's, to me, it's a really smart movie. I think of it more as like a Matrix type of movie that stays with you afterwards. Where yes, there's the cool special effects and there's the cool green screen and it's a built-in amazing story. But I think it's something that's really relevant, and I hope that it's something that you know, soldiers that have lost limbs and patients that are amputees can relate to, because that's kind of what that character, you know, has to go through. So hopefully it's like a universal story where it's something simple like, how as a husband do you redefine yourself if you go off to war and then you come back and you have no legs, but you still have to be the husband that you were before and satisfy your wife. And it's like a very important issue, I think, to think about. So so I'm really excited. It's really smart, to be honest. That's the only thing that I'm like, God, it's just such a smart movie. You know what I mean? If something doesn't make sense, it's not move forward with. Like, it's a very, I think MGM and Sony are putting together a really, really smart film. And I am just, again, so excited to be part of this movie, and we're only halfway through, but everything I've been a part of and everything that I've seen has just been beyond my wildest imagination. And I think that it's going to be a really classy, like, you don't put Gary Oldman in a cheesy sci-fi movie.
Yeah, whenever I speak with any acting teachers and people like that, when they talk about the greats, one of the names they always bring up is Gary Oldman. Mm-hmm. Like, he is the embodiment of acting as an art form.
Exactly.
And it's,
I mean,
amazing.
Sid Vicious and Beethoven and Dracula and you know, his work in The Professional. Like, I'll never forget that scene where he downs that pill without water with Natalie Portman,
yeah,
in the bathroom. And just those things that stay with you. You know what I mean? So I don't feel like sci-fi films have to be poorly performed.
Cheesy.
They don't have to be. You know, who made that a rule? So I don't think The Matrix is cheesy at all. I think it's a very smart movie that will stand the test of time. You know, like, I just watched I Am Sam last night, and that movie was good 10 years ago, and it was good last night, and it'll be good in 20 years. It's just such a universal, well-made film. So I hope that this film is the same, and so far it has kind of the ingredients for it to be so.
Well, I really hope it is as well. How did you get started? Like, when did you know you were going to be part of this project?
And RoboCop?
Did you? Yeah, RoboCop. And, like, was it the same? They called you directly and they wanted you for this part? Or?
Well, they wanted me to come in, and I had been so busy kind of shooting Dexter that I had one window to come in, and they're like, well, she can only come in this time frame. And then, and then it was great. You know, the director saw my tape, I guess, because he was out of the country. We're shooting in Toronto, so he was out scouting. And it was just such an easy... And it was great, because the editor of RoboCop is a Dexter fan.
Oh.
And so that, I don't think, hurt. And it was really cool. His phone rang, and it was like, dun 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 dun. I said, is that the Dexter theme? So it was, it doesn't hurt, you know, when your Oscar nominated editor is a fan of Dexter. And that's what's just so cool. I mean, not to bring it back to Dexter, but it's just so neat that people that are, you know, nominated for an Oscar in this really cool indie they did, and people who know nothing about the business at all. And I was running into this other couple, and they're such a like nice church going couple, and they love Dexter. So it's like it just runs the gamut of the people that love the show. So So it was just kind of a quick process, and I didn't even have really time to prepare. I was working so much that I just thought, well, I'm definitely not going to sound rehearsed because I was just so busy, but maybe that helped.
So yeah, I totally like was listening to you so much I forgot my next question.
Oh no, first.
But yeah, so we have a lot going on with RoboCop. Can you give us anything about your character at all? Or is it a little bit too under wraps?
It's a little bit under wraps. All I can say is that she works with Gary Oldman to help, bring RoboCop to life, and she's a scientist.
All right, that's enough. Now we have a little bit of background for mm-hmm. who will be looking for you as when mm-hmm. we go see the movie, of course, in theaters. And I believe it's so far on IMDb, it says 2014, but mm-hmm. I'm not... Is it?
Yeah, February 2014.
Awesome. So we can definitely go check that out, February 2014. So I wanted to talk a little bit about, so we've already covered how you started as an actress and how you've moved forward in your career. And I want to know, where do you see yourself going? Because obviously RoboCop is a great, it's like moving into one of the biggest feature films of the next coming decade.
Yeah. You know. I think.
So where do you see your career as an actress going? Do you want to move? Are you thinking more moving into like a main role on a TV show? Do you want to do more movies? Are you thinking the femme fatale role or maybe a more leading lady role?
Yeah, I mean, femme fatale would be great. You know, I honestly love like the reception from Dexter fans is so, I mean, overwhelming. Like I just started getting on Twitter because I just they're just great and they're smart and they challenge you and I love kind of that genre, and so I'd love to kind of stay in that world. You know, I think RoboCop and Dexter are kind of in that same world of very high concept kind of sci-fi genre, and I love it. So I would love to I know I can't believe Dexter's coming to an end. It's so sad. It's like an old friend, you know. You look forward to it Sunday nights and you just hang out with them. But I don't know where the next step is. I would love to continue doing shows as good as Dexter. I think Showtime is kind of sweeping the Emmys right now, and I would love to, you know, be on a show like Homeland or another, I don't know if Dexter can ever be replicated, but another show, you know, similar to
Let's throw
to
you
Dexter
on Breaking
in
Bad.
Tone. Oh God, I'd love to be Yeah, but I think they're ending too.
Yeah, sadly they are. So
yeah, but that kind of quality. Like I'd love to continue working with great actors, because I feel like once you get the taste of working with great actors, you just don't want to go back, you know. But I also would love to produce, so I would love to end up producing it in some way. But movies are so fun. I mean, we literally shoot one scene in an entire day, and to have the luxury of doing that, especially when you're doing kind of Minority Report type of stuff.
Yeah,
it's you know green screens and this and that, and it's such a larger than life type of thing, that it's so cool and it's like magic, you know what I mean? And so it's really neat, and I like that aspect of RoboCop, and it's just so cool to be in a scene where you look to your right and it's Michael Keaton, and you look to your left and it's Gary Oldman, and you look in front of you and it's Joel Kinnaman, and you're like, yeah, this is great. I could do this.
Yeah, that's. So, I mean, it's got to be a great feeling, I imagine. And with a movie that's probably as action-packed as that, we just had a from Vegas, we had Steve Russo, who's O'Mara's stunt double.
Yeah.
He was just in the studio last night, and he was talking about how Jason likes to do a lot of his own stunts, but mm-hmm. at the same time, he mentors him on them. Is there any things in, like, RoboCop, do you want to do your own stunts for most of it, or do you always have somebody else fill in for you?
I like to do my own stuff.
That's what I like to hear. I'm a big fan of Jackie Chan, so of course, growing up, I'm like, do my own stunts.
Yeah.
Jump off a tree.
Exactly. Makeup can always cover up bruises.
There you go. Well, what kind of stuff are you working on right now? Before we close this interview, I want to know where everyone can find you, what kind of stuff you're working on, where your fans can connect with you, because, of course, these interviews are great, but I think fans want to be able to find your Twitter, be able to see how you're doing day to day, you know?
Yeah, I've actually really become active on Twitter. I think I might have to take it down a notch. Someone was like, you connect so much with your fans. And I'm like, you say that like it's a bad thing, you know? But I'm on Twitter at, you know, Amy_Garcia. And right now is a very exciting time. I've been flying in and out of the country, but I'm from Chicago. So I definitely try to, you know, go home as much as possible. But that's pretty much the best way, I think, to kind of, I mean, that's how I, you know, you reached out via Twitter and you said, can you come on? And I saw it, and I'm actually really good at reading them, and I trust my Twitter fans. Like I the other day I needed more music in my iPod because I feel like my musical choices were getting kind of stale, and they just gave me great suggestions, and it's just nice to have smart followers. It's very convenient. I could Google or I could ask you guys, and so sometimes I opt for the latter.
Do you have anything you want to say to everybody?
Oh, geez. No, I guess I would just say, you know, thank you for being so fervent. I love the bragging rights of saying that Dexter has more Facebook fans than Modern Family and American Idol, which I think is insane. I mean, it's like 12 million and growing, and it's all them, you know, it's all you guys. And I think I stand by. I think Dexter fans are the best fans in the world. And they'll tell you if they don't like something. They'll be like, I mean, they will be very clear, you know, so it's, they really keep the writers in check, and I wouldn't expect anything less than that. So just kind of thank you for watching and supporting, and they've been great, and thank you for all the birthday wishes. And that's pretty much it.
Where can we see you aside from coming episodes of Dexter and RoboCop in 2 years?
Oh, yeah. Man.
Well, in I guess Vegas. only a year and three months now.
Yeah.
Is Vegas the only project you're working on currently that we can see you in coming episodes?
Oh, gosh. I guess so. Yeah. But
RoboCop's
right
coming.
The corner. Yeah, RoboCop's coming. So it'll be very, yeah, it'll be good. I think Vegas, I mean, if you really are needing your dose of Amy, I guess you can, yeah, hopefully Dexter, you know, I didn't die last episode, so I think I'm safe to say she's just dropping off the kids in Orlando. One Twitter follower was so sweet. He's like, it does not take that long to drive to Orlando. Why are you not in this episode? And I said, just, oh, thank you. That's very sweet. But you know, she'll be back since you know, next, or, you know, for next week. And unless Jamie ends up with some sort of knife in her chest or a bullet in her head.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. You know, there's Vegas, and then they'll hopefully, I don't know, we'll see. That's all I can say. Good day. No.
We just got to figure out things to do between this season of Dexter and next season of Dexter, because we're sure they're going to leave it off with a huge cliffhanger.
Yeah.
And to top what happened last season, we're just wondering what's coming at us.
Yeah, there's definitely a cliffhanger. I like I said, the last scene of this season was not in the script, but it was read out loud once. It remains in my brain. I will not say nothing. But it's definitely a cliffhanger. I mean, they've got the season finale cliffhangers. They've cornered that market.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it's going to be big. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. And then it's the last season.
All right. Well, I think I've exhausted my questions. I asked too many, I think. But
no, you're great.
But thank you so much for joining us today. It's honestly, it's been a pleasure. And for you to come in on your birthday, we're so honored to have you in our studio here. And usually at AfterBuzz, we bring the guest in and watch the show and then do the recap. But I really am glad that we got to sit down and have an interview and actually talk about what goes on behind the set, what goes on with your career, and how hard people... I mean, it's an inspiration to how hard you have to work to get to where you want to be. And still, after probably 13 years or more in your career, you're still moving up. And it's very inspirational to, I mean, actors and hosts such as myself, because we're just at the start of it. And you got to know that you got to work hard to be working with Gary Oldman.
Yeah. And Stephen, we also actually have our very own Maria Menounos. She has something to say.
Really? Well, bring her into the studio.
Whoa!
Hi!
Hi!
How are you?
Hello,
Maria, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Hello, Todd, how are you?
See?
I know. Right. That's I literally, I was like, you look so much
do you want a mic?
Like Jesse. It's uncanny.
No, do you want a mic? Yeah, let's get you a mic.
Okay, perfect.
I'm so
let me pop in
this.
While you're finding me one. Hi!
This is, like, incredible.
Well, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having.
Okay, I'm obsessed with Dexter. I don't know if you know this, but I missed the season after Julia Stiles. Was that season six, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I have to say I missed it because of Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
And then I got back, and when season seven started up, my boyfriend Kevin was just like, Maria, you're never going to be able to catch up right now. He's like, and I really want you to start watching with me because we needed, like, to get into the show again.
Yeah.
And so I was like, all right, this is totally against my nature, but yeah. I did it. And all of a sudden, his sister knows what he is, and
yeah.
I was having a heart attack.
Yeah. I know. I feel like the last season was a setup for, like, that one scene where she's like, you are not who I thought you were.
And then, wait, can I say, like, I'm not going to spoil anything, right?
Yeah.
Like, and then she says, oh my God, I'm in love with you?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah. That might be my favorite line of the whole series when she's, I will not drop the F-bomb, but she's like, And you're a serial killer, and I'm more effed up than you are.
Brilliant.
That line was brilliant, yeah.
I can't even tell you, and I'm just watching this, and I don't know where it's going to go and how it's going to go. I'm sorry, I've, like, completely taken over your seat.
No, you're fine. Don't worry. Welcome.
I'm so obsessed.
No, but that's what I feel like, to kill Ray Stevenson on episode 9, it almost seems like a series finale to kill off the main nemesis 3 episodes before the end of the year. You know, like, they never know. And I never know if I'm going to die either. Like, every time I tell them, every time I get a script, I'm like,
because am I still alive at the end?
Yeah.
Yes, perfect.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so excited. I was at Whole Foods the other day, and I heard these two girls talk, and they're like, do you think that it was a dream, or do you think she really saw his tools? And then the other girl said, no, I think it's definitely a dream. There's no way that she really saw his tools. And then I thought, talking about my show. Like, I was just so excited. It was like water cooler talk.
Crazy.
But it's seventh season, but they were talking about the show as if it were in its first season. So I'm really excited you like it, Maria, because I feel
do.
Like, you know, you're so busy and you probably, but it really, you just made my day.
I love it. The only shows I make, I can, like, say I officially make time to see.
Breaking Bad,
Homeland, Dexter, and Walking Dead.
Wow.
And I fight. Like, tonight, I'm so excited to finish up with this last meeting here and get home. I have to pack for a trip tomorrow, and then I'm going to get in bed and watch my last couple episodes that I haven't caught up on. And so, you know, I miss Sunday's Homeland and Walking Dead. So,
well, you just made my day. That means a lot because you're super busy. So I feel like you have to prioritize.
Absolutely.
And to be on that list of 4 shows.
Those are the top shows on television, hands down. There's no question. Well, there's Boardwalk Empire. I didn't get into that one.
Yeah.
And Kevin's still mad at me about it, but I couldn't get into it. And I know it's an amazing show, but I didn't get into it the first day. And then once he starts watching ahead of me, now I have to play catch up. For me, my viewing experience is with him.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he even watches Dancing with the Stars with me, like, when I can catch up on that.
Yeah.
Which is also so hard to keep up with, but
I'm so happy. I know, I told him, I said, I hope the last season, I think it's going to just be epic because this is it. And I
said, so now we're one more season?
One more season, then
that's it.
That's it? How caught up are you on this season? Completely?
I think I might have one episode in my queue because the last one I saw was the girl, I don't remember her name, is it?
Hannah McKay?
Who?
Hannah McKay.
Yeah, Hannah. What's her real name? I'm sorry.
Yvonne.
Yvonne Strahovski.
Yes. Yeah, Yvonne. I've interviewed her before. She's amazing.
Yeah.
I saw that one when he killed her.
Was it on the beach?
No, you guys were on the beach. I remember seeing that, and then later he kills her.
Two episodes,
So I have two more?
No, you have one more to catch up on.
Oh, yeah, because I'm like, I had a marathon over Thanksgiving break. I watched all of them in a row.
Yeah.
I literally would sleep, and I'd wake up and watch Dexter. And then I'd pass out again, and then I'd watch Dexter.
Aw,
it was great.
Really sweet.
It was a lot of rest, and then I was like, am I going to have some messed up dreams?
I actually do dream about Dexter sometimes. And it's not, I, like, wake up, and I'm sweating, and I'm...
Well, the guy, when he had those horns...
Yes.
Belzer.
He freaked me out.
Yeah.
And so today, in fact, I was at the Grove, and I was walking by, we had this display table, and they had these beautiful, you know, those cake pop desserts?
Yeah.
They had those beautiful cake pop desserts. And there were these little reindeer, and they were so cute, and they had little pretzel heads. And I'm like, is there something wrong with me that I all I see when I see this is the crazy man from Dexter.
Yeah.
And they're like, who are you?
Well, it's funny because our writers are really sweet looking, like they're moms and they're dads. And I say, you look so sweet. You have twins. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you come up with this just crazy, like, minotaur, you know, things? And they just seem so seemingly normal. Yeah. But I guess you never know.
When you get fan mail from the show, from people who watch the show,
yeah.
Do you ever get letters? Because every time I watch it...
From jail, yes. No.
No, not too. I'm sure you get some interesting ones. But do you ever get people that are afraid that the show could encourage some stuff? Because I watch it sometimes and I'm like, well, he has a heart of gold and we all love him.
Yeah.
So could it...
He's a vigilante.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Do people have a hard time with that, do you find?
That's interesting. I mean, hopefully people can distinguish between reality and not reality. But, you know, I think that, I mean, not really. Like, there's nothing, I mean, there hasn't been any, you know, like, copycat fan mail or anything like that. And Michael, I feel like, just presents him with so much integrity. Mm-hmm. And somehow he's so likable. Like, I don't know. I mean, it really is a testament to Michael C. Hall as an actor. Mm-hmm. That he could be so likable, even though he's taking away people's lives. But I think that people are really forgiving. Like, if it was a rapist or someone who used to really cause suffering, they're, like, okay with it, you know? But yeah. I hope not. I mean, so far, you know, it's been 7 years, and luckily there's no copycat Dexter killers. But, but, I mean, you never know. But hopefully people can, you know, not go down that path and just realize that it's entertainment and just supposed to be your Sunday night.
Guilty pleasure.
Guilty pleasure, you know.
I wonder, too, the other thing I think about often, and it's so funny because, you know, when you get to sit across from someone who has the answers, all the questions start popping in your head. When I watch, because I know that those guys were married before, I'm like, I wonder how they work together every day. And I know that there's so many people that do that. And so it shouldn't be, you know, a question that does pop into my mind. But I do wonder all the time.
Yeah.
I'm sure people who are listening wonder. I mean, and not to get too personal about it because it's not my intention.
No.
But
I mean, honestly, I mean, I came in season six, so I was kind of the new kid after they had been together, you know, for a long time. But they are so both professional and really good friends.
Yeah.
And they get along really well. If you see them on set, they're cracking up. And and they... I think the testament to how amazing they've even been performing this season is very telling of how comfortable they feel each other. Because I don't think you can give a great performance. And I think we can all agree that Jennifer Carpenter is long overdue for an Emmy.
Oh, my God. And you see it this season.
It's
big
like,
time.
That girl is putting her heart on her sleeve.
I just
and
got
that
the
girl. Yeah, I mean, she is. Maybe that means she'll get nominated.
Yeah.
She's just so broken. And you see that. And I don't think that if there was any personal weird issues, I don't think that she would allow herself to get to that place of vulnerability. But he is obviously so comfortable with her and she's so comfortable with him. And I see it. And they're just consummate professionals. And it's funny, someone tweeted that she deserves an Emmy for telling her ex husband that she's completely in love with
him. Thinking that the entire time. I'm like, wait, but you did. Oh, this is so weird.
Yeah, but no, I mean, it's people ask me that all the time. Like, is it weird? And this, that. I said, I mean, maybe it was weird before I got there. I don't know. But I just was so impressed with how, and when you're an adult, you realize life happens and you just, they're big enough to just kind of move forward. And they know that their relationship affects the rest of the, they really set the tone.
Yeah.
So they've set it so beautifully. And I think that the show is just back. And I think it's just hopefully going to end with a bang, you know?
Wait, another question.
Yes,
so,
please.
Speaking of Jennifer, when I watch and see how intense her scenes are and how much, you know, she has to bring
so much
to it. I was watching and I told Kevin, I go, how does this poor girl do it? It takes a lot of energy to put that kind of performance out because she's constantly in chaos and fear and, you know, pain and suffering. You know, how is that on set? I mean, is she able to just switch it on and switch it off? Does it drain her?
You know, I mean, that's probably a better question for her. I don't know. But as far as I always see her, I don't have any emotional scenes with her, but she is just, whenever I see her, cracking hair and makeup up all the time. She is, I mean, she loves her bowling. You know what I mean? She's very, I mean, like anybody, if I'm doing a like the breakup scene with Lewis, you just kind of stay in your space because you have to stay emotionally filled. So I assume, you know, that's similar to what she does. But as far as carrying it over, I mean, we were supposed to go shooting a couple of weeks ago. I was out of town. We couldn't do it. But she's just so playful. And I think her birthday is actually coming up next week. But she's just seems like a really good friend and a really balanced, grounded person from what I can tell. I mean, she doesn't, I think Deb is damaged, but I don't see Jennifer damaged. I mean, she's just such a strong, powerful woman doing boxing now. And
I love her hair too. I love the new highlights on the ends. It's cute.
Yeah.
Okay. My next question. Sorry. I have so many.
Oh, you're good.
What do you do to stay in shape? Because you are popping that little booty into that lens and everything looks amazing.
Yeah.
And those little shorts and stuff. Come on.
Yeah. Well, that's really good motivation when you know that people you don't know are going to see your buttocks and always in a bikini. Surprise, surprise. I think Jamie's in a bikini again this upcoming episode. That girl. But
he's like, yeah.
But, you know, it's funny. I guess I just try. Well, same thing you do. I just try to do something different every day.
Yeah.
I'm a Chicago girl. I'm a total.
Are you really?
Yeah, born and raised in Chicago. I'm like avid. You know, I love my Bears. I don't know how the mother of these players do it because I don't even know these players.
And you're just, like heart like, having a heart attack. I know.
I'm getting stressed just watching the Bears game. You know,
we should watch a game together.
Yeah.
Next time the Patriots play the Bears.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be fun. Or the Cubs. I feel like I thought the Cubs haven't won a World Series since 1908, and I thought they were going to win in. Like a couple years ago.
Yes, I remember. Did you see the documentary about that guy?
Yes, yes.
It was so sad.
I know. It's just so
painful.
It wasn't
his fault.
I know.
The poor guy's like in hiding. His whole life is over.
I know. He's like in the witness protection program.
Yes.
But it's painful to be a Chicago sportsman. But I only say that because I love deep dish pizza and I don't have any no chocolate because I always say if you say no chocolate, it's like saying you can't date that boy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm thinking, well, then I want to date him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I can't say no to myself. So, like, today I had a photo shoot. So I tried not to eat like a linebacker yesterday.
Yeah.
And then today, after I finish this lovely interview, I'm going to go and have a piece of pizza. You know, so I think it's just, and I just try to do something different every day. I used to burn myself out and work out every single day until I physically could not walk. And now I realize that is not sustainable.
Yeah.
So now I'll, you know, do Pilates one day, yoga. And then I realized now I just want to sustain.
Mm-hmm.
Unless I'm doing a love scene, and hopefully, we'll see, hopefully they won't write any more love scenes, then where I really want to look super cut.
Yeah.
Unless it's that, I just, you know, it's like, I feel comfortable and I just don't want to do anything extreme. I'm athletic, so I don't want to not feed myself carbs and cut out this. And I don't want to be at a bar and not have a drink with my friends.
Yes.
So I just feel like I don't do anything extreme and I just really try to do something every day different so that my body is kind of shocked. So there's no secret.
Yeah.
And sleep. I know it sounds so not exciting or expensive, but sleep and water are my two best friends, especially because, you know, I've been shooting. I'm doing RoboCop in Toronto and
are you really?
Vegas here, so I've been on planes every 5 days.
Amazing.
So I just have to just sleep a ton because I've been waking up LA time 1 a.m. because my call time is 5 Toronto time. So I have to wake up at 4, which is really 1 a.m.
Ew.
For my body. So it's a little rough, but I just have to sleep, you know.
Toronto's fun, though.
Yeah, it's cool.
And RoboCop's amazing.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It's huge. But I'm so excited. You liked it. Honestly, you made my day.
I'm so glad.
It's like the best.
Well, because I was out there and I was trying to take pictures off the monitor of you to be like, oh my gosh, she's in studio right now. And then, like, you know, by the time the delay happened, like, you would be looking off or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I'm just going to go inside the booth. And then when I saw you, I'm like, wait, I should go in and say hi. Duh.
Yeah. No, but I am so impressed. I just want to give a shout out to this one over here. I came in and I got the tour and I said, whose brainchild was this? And they said, Maria. I said, you're telling me Maria is like this little entrepreneur that had a germ of an idea. And all of a sudden, she has, like, this whole thing. And so I love, because I feel like a lot of people have a lot of good ideas, but a lot of people don't see them through. So I was just so impressed. I'm like, not only is she, if like, I'm not a lesbian, but if I was, I'd be all over that. And I feel like, I think I'm blushing a little bit, but I'm like, she's super hot, she's super cool. And I love that you just are like this entrepreneur that put this all together. And I'm like, so this was her thing. You have to, like, yeah, her and
me and, Kev, and, me and, my
yeah, and Kevin.
Thank you. And a few others for sure, because it takes a village.
Because I know with, like, construction, everything just takes longer.
Oh, it takes,
but I love it. I wanted to take pictures and, like,
you should, absolutely. And, yeah, the studio's been, like, you know, it's taken phases. It's had different life forms. And, you know, we have so many great hosts and so many great people here. It's a great energy when you're here. Like, especially on a night when there's, like, a Thursday night. Is today Thursday or twice?
Today's Wednesday.
Wednesday,
on a Thursday night, there's so much energy. It's like bumping in here. Yeah. And it's like, you know, it's great because, you know, these, you know, there's so much, there's a starvation for this kind of content. People love talking about their shows. Like, I'm supposed to be in a meeting right now, and I'm like, oh, I want to talk about Dexter.
No, but it's true. Like, I read up on you guys, and it's, I mean, you do this with sports. They're talking about the Lakers.
Yeah.
And they don't, and they're sitting there like, well, Kobe was, I guess, had the flu yesterday. And so he's, but he's still getting 40 points. And you're right. It's nice. I'm like, why don't we get it for TV?
Absolutely.
So,
well, I have to come
thank
back
you.
Again.
I would love to.
I'm glad you're enjoying
if
your time.
If Jamie doesn't
Dexter.
Die.
Oh. No, no.
Even if you do, come back.
The AfterBuzz family will, like, throw a fit.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. You never know where it goes. But I'm really excited you like this season, because I think it's like re-energized. And I was telling him, I think it's the beginning of the end, and it'll be cool to see Michael do things we've never seen him do before. Like, kind of go a little bit crazy when he's like, I control everything. And then you're thinking,
I know
you're delusional. So I think it's...
He's going to go off track a little.
Yeah, but it'll be cool because he's such a great actor. And for 6 years, he's just been so expressive with doing so little.
I'm
so excited.
All my favorite shows, like Breaking Bad, is gone next season. This one, it's like, they're like holes in my heart. I'm like, what am I going
to
do?
You just have to produce one.
It's like losing like a pet. It's just like, but I loved him. Why would he go? Why would God take him from me?
I know. Trust me. I'm sure so many people on that show would love to. But Michael also feels like he owes it to the fans to leave the character on the journey that he should have.
Yeah.
And no one wants to overextend their welcome.
Yeah,
you know, I don't
want
to, I mean, I love Brett Favre and stuff, but, you know, sometimes I'm sure people are thinking, sometimes you have to know when to kind of hang up the jersey.
Brett, I love that she's bringing up
I shouldn't.
Great.
I mean, he's such a lovely person,
no,
you know,
for
but
sure.
I feel like, but just if you're an athlete, I feel like sometimes, but you never know. I'm just saying some people might say that.
Yeah.
I'm a Bears fan, so I only know about my team. But
the Bears.
But yeah, thank you. This is super fun.
Thank
he
you.
Lovely, and
did you have fun hosting Dexter with her?
Of course.
I love it. Shout out to BWR. Thanks for bringing her in.
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna go back to my meeting. Switcheroo.
All right.
Yay. Well, it's so
I'll
good
see
to see
there.
You.
Thank you.
Too.
And congrats
Ooh.
On this.
Thank
it's
you
great.
So much. If you're still here, I do have my camera so I can get some pictures.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we should. Well, come grab me when you guys are done.
All right, cool.
See you.
That was such a nice surprise.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Are we still on? Did the
we're definitely
that?
Still on, yeah. Everything...
I know. That's, like, on the record.
That is technically on the record that you are a Bears fan.
Yes, yes. And if I was a lesbian, that Miriam would be my type of girl.
But yes, that was... That was AfterBuzz TV's founder, Maria Menounos of Extra.
That was so cool.
Yeah,
nice little special guest.
That's awesome.
Cool.
just like you working with Gary Oldman, I don't know where to go from there because you just were with Maria and now it's back to me.
No, it's all good.
But it's weird because we were kind of closing out before she came in, so I don't know what to do now.
Yeah, no, but...
So should we kind of close it out? I think we're gonna wrap it up.
Cool.
Anyway, it was great to have Maria join us. It was so amazing to have you join us tonight.
Aw, thank you.
We would definitely love to have you come back, either for Dexter, even for Vegas, even for a visit to guest host something.
Okay.
If you have any other shows that you're big fans of, we just love having people in who talk about their favorite things.
Sure.
That's what we are. We're the Super Fan Network, and if you're a fan of something, we want you talking about it.
Done.
But thanks again so much, Amy. Tell us again where we can find you so all the fans can connect.
Yeah, I'm really good with Twitter, so if you have a question or something, I respond pretty well. At Amy, A-I-M-E-E. My name is actually spelled French. I don't know why. I'm not French. But at A-I-M-E-E underscore Garcia, G-A-R-C-I-A.
And you can find me, like always, at Stephen Lemieux, S-T-E-P-H-E-N-L-E-M-I-E-U-X. My last name's French, and I'm not French, so I don't know about that either.
Cool.
But this has been the exclusive AfterBuzz interview with Amy Garcia of Dexter, Jamie Batista, or...
Happy birthday.
RoboCop's Kim.
Yeah.
But happy birthday again, and thank you so much. We'll catch you
this Sunday night for another exciting episode of Dexter, which is going to be closing in on the end.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday's the night. Anyway, we'll see you later. Thanks again.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.